Hello and welcome to a brand new episode of the Brand New Show podcast. As usual, it's me, your host, Neil Humphrey, the Brand Gladiator. And once again, I have a very special guest with me today. Unfortunately, we are not sitting face to face as I had the pleasure of last time, but through the marvels of technology, we are now going international. Hello, Debbie, can you hear me?
I can indeed, Neil.
Brilliant. This is the lovely Deborah Walker, my special guest from Passport to Change. Now, tell me about what it is that Passport to Change for you particularly means.
Well, Passport to Change was set up as basically a business that helped people to fundamentally go through a series of changes to experience better health at the end of it. And it's focused around naturopathy and nutrition. Predominantly. And I bolt in energy therapies. So over the years, about 15 years of training that I've had, fundamentally, it's brought in a number of different therapies. So I'm quite a wide ranging therapist with what I do.
Okay, so it's about kind of health, well-being, but it's quite different from what people might consider to be the obvious kind of nutritionist angle, isn't it?
Yeah, naturopathy uses cleansing. So we look at the whole body and we fundamentally, and different naturopaths will specialise in different arenas effectively, but the majority of us will always work with cleansing. We'll work out exactly how the body is functioning and then how we can unpick it with the individual. And we always work educationally with our clients. So fundamentally, we're always enabling our clients to move through our model to improve their health. And then effectively they know in the long term what to do to keep themselves healthy. So it's not the greatest business model in the world. It's not like your Pfizer's of this world where fundamentally they'll get you on medication and then you'll be taking them for the rest of your life. Fundamentally, we want you to take supplements and your diet and things for a period of time until you've got the health that you want to. And then you should experience good health forever, hopefully.
Excellent. So I think it's very much about the whole body, and isn't it? And it's about kind of making sure that you work with the body. But you weren't always a naturopath, were you?
No, I've worked in a number of different things. A number of years ago, I started off as an artist. I was a weaver, which is my original training. And I exhibited my work internationally across the world and was a lecturer for a variety of universities. And then I moved into change management. So a variety of roles within change management within a big corporate entity. And I did that for about 11 years whilst I worked my way up the ladder. And then I exited that when I got a little bit disillusioned with how corporates effectively treated their people. And so I decided that actually I would be in charge of my own performance management. I'd like to see my own results basically play out for myself. So if I performed well, then I would get the benefit. If I didn't perform well, then I don't get the benefit.
So did you effectively change management yourself out of a job?
I did. In fact, it's funny because, yes, my final role was as a career transition manager, and I did career transition myself out of my own role.
I love it. Yeah. Career transition this. Yes.
Indeed.
Yeah, that was a little visual joke there, ladies and gentlemen. So you decided enough's enough. You made the change, and I guess there was training involved to move into naturopathy.
Yeah, basically over the time that I'd been actually at work, and I call it work because it very much felt like work then, I'd started to go through a variety of trainings in natural health, more to discover my own health issues and what was behind them and to resolve them. So over a number of years, I trained in different mediums, and it's those mediums and the elements of them that I found have worked very well that I've now brought into my own practice. And so effectively I have a number of different trainings, but it was the last kind of 5 years of being in the corporate world where I made the determination where I was going to focus that, and that became in the naturopathy.
Okay, because you've got you have a real kind of a tangible and obvious drive and passion to you that anybody who kind of would be kind of dismissive of anybody working in the natural health arena as being perhaps kind of quite hippie or kind of all been natural fabrics and a bit floaty and ephemeral. This almost you come across in a way that seems kind of quite breaking the norm from an outsider's perspective.
I'm completely business orientated. So I didn't go into this with any illusions of just setting up my practice and just hoping that the clients would come. I effectively set it up with the aim of making it into a substantial business that would keep me financially secure. And I have the attitude of JFDI, as I call it. Mm-hmm. You know, and I do. I get on and do it. I'm very clear about what I want to do, how I want to do it, and then look at how I'm going to achieve it. But I have a lot to thank for my corporate training in many respects, because I worked for someone, and although I didn't enjoy working for them, I never went back to them and said I couldn't do something, because their response to me was always, how can you do it? I don't want to hear how we can't do it. I want to hear how we can do it. And so fundamentally, I always ask myself that question. Okay, so I might not be able to do that, but how can I do it? What do I need to do to actually achieve where I want to go? And you know, be really clear about how I want to get there.
I like that, because I've heard the expression in the past about kind of, if I was an actor, how would I act if I knew how to do it? And then I heard it in a different context a couple of weeks ago, and it really hit home, that kind of thing, that don't just tell me that there's a problem, tell me how to fix it. But even if you don't know how to do it, or if you don't know what you're doing, how would somebody who does know what to do and how to do it, how would they approach it? And then there is a bit of kind of fake it till you make it. But I think it's not about being disingenuous, is it? It's about saying, yes, I can do that. I will figure it out. And then I will deliver.
I think, you know, the conclusion I've come to over the years is that most of us as adults really don't know what we're doing in the
That's true. Yeah.
And actually, most of us are moving into situations about 50, 60% of the time that we're not actually sure about the outcome of. And therefore, nearly all of us are in the same boat. So why be fearful about it? Why not just get on and work out a way of actually making the next step? I feel that often we stop ourselves from moving forward, and yet and it's because we can't see the whole path. Fundamentally, I've just made a massive change. I couldn't see the whole path, but I could see an element of it. And as soon as I saw the next steps, I was prepared to move forward. And often I don't know how it's going to play out, but I do know that I have several resources and I'm going to put those into place. So effectively, you know, my motivation, the personal inspiration I have, and then my knowledge base are all going to be brought forward in that. So I'm very clear, even in situations now where I'm not sure what's going to happen, that actually I've got a pretty good knowledge base of how to make it happen, because I just believe that all of us don't really know.
No, indeed, and I think you kind of spot, because you have made a big life change. You've moved to a new country. Well, I say new country. It was there before. it's not you're not they like a sovereign island, but no, you've moved to Ireland. Whereabouts did you say you've moved to?
Currently, I'm in County Tyrone.
County Tyrone.
And, yeah, so I'm part-time there now, and I'm part-time in the UK running my practice. And my aim is to set up somewhere in Ireland, and I'm currently looking for a property and to set myself up, the radio station up, and because we want a permanent base for it, and a clinic space for myself.
So you've gone from just somebody who is being told what to do in a corporate environment to becoming effectively an international expert in the field of natural health.
Well, I'm an international traveller in health. Okay. Am I an expert? I feel that several people far more widely experienced than myself in the field of naturopathy, and I go and train with them as much as I can. I hope when I get to the point that they are, that yes, I will be considered an expert. Currently, I feel that I'm a very good entrepreneur, a natural health entrepreneur, and I feel that that's where my biggest expertise is, and being able to market the knowledge base that I currently have. I think I do that fairly effectively.
Well, I think that's absolutely why I wanted to have a conversation with you, because it's quite clear, because you've won a number of awards for your entrepreneurial skills, and it puts you in quite a unique position, I guess, that within your industry sector, that there are people who are, I mean, it's quite common that to be called an expert makes you sort of, oh, I'm not an expert, I just I just know what I'm doing. In a field where you will have a lot of people who will maybe be very practical expertise, or certainly very maybe theoretical expertise, kind of almost kind of like people who've read a lot but have no way of really knowing what to do with it. And then the other people think, oh, well, I've got a problem here, so I'm going to figure out how to do it. That makes me an expert.
Mm.
So you mentioned a radio station. This is Natural Health Radio. This is a digital radio station that you founded, is that right?
It's an internet broadcasting station. So we're international indeed. And yes, I did found it. I founded it. We came up with the idea last July, so July 2013. And actually, I gave us 6 weeks to get it live. I managed to get 8 people hosting shows on it within that time, and we were up and broadcasting by the August the 26th 2013, and we're now almost a year on, and we're just redesigning the website because we are inundated with traffic so we're having to make it all a bit more robust than we originally designed it.
That's brilliant. And what was the thought behind using internet radio as a medium to kind of communicate with your audience?
The reason was that when we did the research, we looked at FM and we looked at the licensing behind FM and realised that actually to set up on the internet was less expensive and would give us a far wider reach for our niche radio, because that is effectively what we are. We are niche radio content. And fundamentally, I looked at the number of mobile devices and the ability to stream content and saw that it was not going to be a decreasing market by any stretch of the imagination. It was going to be an ever increasing market, particularly when we saw the fact that cars in the US were starting to have internet placed within them so that actually people could stream content. We saw this was a massive, massive opportunity. And so therefore we decided to not go down the FM route, which actually quite complicated, but actually to move into internet.
Okay, so you have an audience then, a worldwide audience. Obviously with traditional broadcast media, like television and radio, it's very much kind of one way. Does the internet, doing on the internet as a medium, does that allow you to have a bit more interaction with your audience? Do you have people kind of connecting with you through the website, so you actually get a feel for somebody's actually listening?
The social media side is obviously the biggest impact too on that. And, you know, you've got the likes of Twitter where people will get involved, and which if those people who use Twitter will know that actually it can be either used as a one way push out medium, or actually you can trigger people to then actually start to interact with the variety of shows that are on. Facebook, though, is our biggest bang for our buck, if we're absolutely honest. And that's because we know our demographics very well. And Natural Health Radio and the Natural Health Arena is predominantly female. And Twitter, we have found, attracts a majority male audience, whereas our station attracts predominantly a female audience, and majority of practitioners are female that we're attracting. So we have found that those people who like Facebook like to have a dialogue, and it tends to be more female orientated. So we have focused far more on Facebook than we have on Twitter, and we've added the social media links to the website, and we're currently building up the ability of people to come on to the website and write commentaries, and so interact directly with the actual show that's been going on. And so that is at the bottom of everybody's blogs, or show episodes, as we prefer to call them, so that the audience can start to interact, because we found, as I say, you know, women are more attracted to the Facebook element of it. And I think it's because it's not short and sweet. We like to talk a bit more.
Ah, yes, I like Twitter, the brevity aspect. Doesn't it? So you mentioned about your audience and being very clear about your audience. And one of the core tenets of certainly my approach to branding is making sure that you have a category of one, which kind of positions you in front of exactly the right audience. Was it something that you started off saying, right, this is the audience that I need to target, or over time has that evolved and kind of crystallized into an almost an identifiable person?
Well, with Passport to Change, what happened was when I set it up, although I went out and was aggressively networking it, I really was networking myself as a naturopath. And actually, I started to say in networking groups, I'm a naturopath and a mind reader. I know what you're thinking. What's a naturopath? Because people just didn't know.
Oh, comic timing's everything there. Blimey.
You know, people didn't know what it was. And I realized quite quickly that actually I needed to become clear on what my audience wanted from me and my client base and what the potential was in the room for those people to go off and actually talk to other people about me. And then so what happened was I had an epiphany moment with Vanessa Lanham Day, who's a marketing expert, who was actually delivering a presentation and challenged me about what Passport to Change meant. And I went away realizing at that point that I'd not actually applied my corporate thinking to my business, to the selling of the almost the product within my business, if you want to say it like that. So effectively, I spent a week, I cancelled everything and spent a whole week becoming clear on my audience, on what I was going to say to them, on what were the benefits, how I could help them, what were they looking for. And I'm sort of infamous rather than famous for the wallpaper, the blank wallpaper, and me drawing and me making effectively reels and reels of notes and business plans and marketing focus so that I became extremely clear. And once I became clear, then it ran through the whole business. So it runs through not only Passport to Change, but Food for Thought, the radio show, and it runs through the Natural Health Radio as well. So I'm very clear about the demographics of the client base that comes to all of them and how we're going to be attracting them.
Because that allows you to have a much closer, much more personal relationship with your clients, doesn't it?
Yeah. It means that I don't do certain things. I do a little bit of Twitter, but I don't spend a lot of time on it, in all honesty. I do a little bit of Facebook, but I don't spend a lot of time on it for my own business. And the reason is that my clients like to be talked to. Mm-hmm. And so I will always write personal emails to them. The majority of my work, about 80% of the work that I get as a naturopath, comes through personal referrals. So effectively, I know that I need to create good relationships with my clients so that they continue referring me in the way that they do. Whereas if I spent the same amount of time on Facebook or on Twitter, I wouldn't be getting, and I've found that I don't get the same responses from my clients. So although they're nice to haves for me, they're not actually the thing that creates the business. Mm-hmm. I'm when I write articles, I write them for a very different audience, and it's to effectively position me as a expert within a specific nutrition field. So they're done on in a way that actually attracts a different type of audience again. So I'm always very, very clear on what I'm doing and how I'm going to be working with my clients and cultivating my clients and creating relationships. I actually really enjoy the client interaction. I love truly working with them and seeing their progress. And sometimes it can be really painful for both sides. Don't get me wrong, you know, working with people that are ill can be very, very trying for them and for me, as things sometimes work, sometimes don't work, or it takes them backwards and forwards as we try and get things absolutely right for them. And but because I'll be working quite closely with them and keeping in touch with them, it gives me a really good bond with my clients, and therefore I nearly always get referrals from them.
Because that's vital, isn't it, for you? Because I understand that you've got a very unique challenge in the realms of marketing, is in as much as you're not allowed to actually advertise your product or services. Is that
Well, we're not allowed to make health claims. Mm. So effectively, I'm disallowed from being on Google. Mm-hmm. So effectively, although you can find my website through Google, they won't allow me to use their adverts. And so we can't do things like remarketing or anything like that. So I'm kind of stopped from doing that. Instead, we use Facebook at the moment, and and basically I have to be careful with what I say. So fundamentally, everything's fairly innocuous. I'm not allowed to make any claims at all. I can say what I do.
Does that extend to the work that you do with the internet radio then as well, or is that they're monitoring you constantly?
Well, I don't know if they're monitoring us constantly. I'm sure we're being listened to. In fact, I'm pretty sure I've written, no, we're being listened to.
Yeah, no, it's just you and me. Yeah, you're just
But, you know, we do have to abide by the legislation within the EU, absolutely, and be knowledgeable about it across the world, because we are going out internationally. So,
but that's important for you, isn't it? Surely that you have some kind of... it might seem on the face of it a little bit restrictive, but you want to know, you know that what you say is right. You're very well experienced. You're well trained. It's about protecting the general public, isn't it?
For me, it's about ensuring that what we say is absolutely right and it's factual. And, you know, we just need to make sure that we don't make any claims that upset the likes of the Advertising Standards Agency and go against European legislation.
Mm-hmm. So kind of keeping on the right side of the law. So does that kind of annoy you, or what...
It's a challenge. My manager would have said to me, well, what can we do then? And that's all I've said to myself. Okay, so I can't do that. What can I do? Okay, so when the person who does my remarketing, he basically, you know, came back and told us we couldn't do Google. I said, right, what can we do? You know, and he came back with a solution for us. And so effectively we've just moved forward with that solution. And that's all, you know, that's all I will do every single time. So for instance, I can't use Google as for advertising. I can put my website on there, but not advertise. But what I can do is I can make sure that all of my shows are on YouTube, which, you know, from my understanding is the second biggest search engine. And so therefore I decided to use it. So my radio show goes out across YouTube. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm just going to, like most people, a bit like hackers, you know, we'll always find a way around.
Yeah, well, and, I think that's really, I mean, if the listeners take something away from that, it's that approach, and that's served you well. It reminds me of this the joke. It's like, you see a mousetrap, I see free cheese and a little challenge. which is a great analogy, I think. Unless, of course, you're not allowed to eat cheese, as cheese is bad for you.
Well, I'm vegan, so I wouldn't be doing the cheese business.
Yeah, okay, well, there we go. Don't tell cheese jokes to vegans, goodness. So we talked a little bit about, I alluded to the fact that you are an award-winning entrepreneur. What is it about awards that kind of that are really important to you? Is it about the acknowledgement of your peers? What does it make you feel? How does it make you feel?
I think when I'm working on my own all the time, they're almost like a milestone to aim for in many respects, and so they're a nice goal to have, and a confirmation that what you're doing is right. I have lots of confirmation in many respects every single day from my clients when they write to me and tell me they're getting better. The choices I've made around there, how to improve their health, are absolutely right because they're working really well for them and things like this. You know, so there's lots of that sort of thing when people recommend me and refer me, or they send me a testimonial out of the blue, or they even put them on all the review sites. You know, I get lots of that. But actually, you know, when I set my mind on achieving something and I get it, there's nothing nicer than actually, you know, everybody in the room clapping and going, well done, at the end of the day. Yeah, so I, you know, it's like anything really. It's a bit like getting your degree at the end of it, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think that's really bad, because I think that what's been quite clear recently, this idea, when you hear examples of great customer service, and you know, that thing when people take the time to say, you know, this has saved my life, and it is, it, you know, you are dealing with people's health and well-being, and mm-hmm. That there is that emotional level to it, but. You find examples across the board, whatever industry, there's an example of great customer service. And the idea when it comes to marketing, not being just about saying how awesome you are, you know, I'm brilliant, look at me, to actually have people creating your stories for you and say, well, here's an example that that somebody has to say about what I did. That's got much more credibility, doesn't it? Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, I have a genuine love for my clients, and they have a genuine, a lot of them have a genuine love for me. You know, when I was moving countries, I got cards and presents, even though I'm still running my clinic in the UK. You know, lots of them made sure that I felt very much that they, I meant a lot to them, and that I'd made a real difference with them. And just by getting those cards, it meant so much to me. And I feel that relationship building is incredibly important. Mm. I work really hard on it, and every single day. In fact, my partner will tell you that he feels that what I do is very much a vocation, because I spend so much time on my emails. And fundamentally, I don't get paid for that time, but in many respects, I do, because it's that whole, it makes me feel that I'm achieving something with them. And then when they get to their goal, there's nothing better than, them saying, I don't need you anymore. And I just think that's absolutely brilliant.
Because you don't have to keep writing emails, I suppose.
Well, I just, that's a bit flippant of you, Neil.
Yes, that's very flippant of me. I do apologise. But I think it's that kind of thing that it's quite clear in what you're saying, that you get a much more intangible value from the relationships that you have and the work that you do. Would you say that financial remuneration is not such a high profile driver for you as perhaps the kind of reward of just someone's health improving?
I'm in business to actually make business and to make myself financially secure. I'm in a very good position now. I left the corporate sector with a package that allowed me to pay off my mortgage. So I was very much in a position where I could do what I wanted at that point. And that was my main aim of going into the corporate sector. So even back then, I knew that if I went in, I would only be going in for a certain amount of time. And it was to actually achieve a specific goal. So, and originally it was so that I could actually come back to being an artist, but I'm in business to create a living effectively, and I'm for Natural Health Radio, I'm definitely in it as a business, and it's a wider picture though, to create one of the biggest natural health radio stations in the world. And so I'm very focused all the time on the business element of things. Is finance truly a driver, though, for me? Not really at the end of the day, because it doesn't really have to be.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a really important message. The fact that you have the goals, you have the focus, and you have the ambition, and that it isn't entirely altruistic. I think that there's a danger of... there's a danger of kind of getting bogged down with that thing that you're becoming a saint and you're just helping people, and then with the best will in the world, people will kind of take advantage of that. So I guess that this focus allows you to kind of be quite clear about what you are prepared to do.
Yes, and I do. I take on concessionary clients, and so I have people who come in at a lower financial level of payment, and then I have my clear band of what my charges are. And if I don't want to take the work on, though, I'm very clear that I won't take the work on. And I'm in a very nice position where I can make that decision, because I do only need to earn a certain amount of money to effectively pay my bills,
yeah,
and to pay the bills of the radio station, things like this. So
you've got this picture of building the to become one of the largest, why not the largest? Let's push the boat out. One of the largest natural health radio stations in the world. The passport change to become a clinic with bases in different countries. Is that part of your big plan? What's next for Deborah Walker? Passport to change, natural health radio.
Well, it's interesting because at the moment that's what I'm actually designing, because I've moved countries. So in effect, my main aim for this year was to actually do a big move and to then reset myself up in another country and to start to focus far more on the expansion of natural health radio, because I would have the time, because now my time is very much split between clinic and natural health, because they're both in separate countries in many respects. So at the moment, what I am doing is I'm doing that big design of what it's going to start to look like. And we've started to, as part of that, redesign Natural Health Radio and build a newer and better website for our hosts and for our listeners to get a far better experience when they come to the station, and so that we can actually expand in the way that we truly want to, and become that leading station.
That's it. Have a dream. And the decision to kind of create Passport to Change as an entity, and a Natural Health Radio as an entity, sort of brands effectively in their own right. Then you've got the kind of positioning of yourself as the person behind the brand. Is this something that you were keen to kind of distance yourself from? Was it kind of, I mean, like, for example, now you have the Deborah Walker Clinic. This is something where you are the center of attention. Mm-hmm. You are the name behind it. Is that something that you want to kind of keep going, or is it just about very much about kind of like having a mindset or a methodology that you can then kind of pass on to others and expand without you necessarily being at the middle of it?
I haven't yet made that decision about the clinics, in all honesty. Natural Health Radio, though, is very much based on my philosophy of natural health, and I'm very clear on its aim in regards to it being, well, natural health is such a wide arena that actually I want it to encompass all of that, because I believe that to have good health, there isn't just one route to it for each person. It's basically, it's a bit like when you're going on a journey and you see the different signposts. For me, that is what natural health is about for individuals, that actually they're signposted towards something else, and something else will resonate with them, and then they'll be able to go towards that, and that will be played out on our radio station. So there'll be all of those different arenas. I've forgotten the original question.
It's about kind of driving it forward without necessarily having you at the heart of it.
Yeah. So in effect, my aim is that I will probably lead Natural Health Radio and be working in the long term full time on it, and that I will, the clinic side of the work will become smaller for me in particular, and it will probably be me going out to see specific clients who want to see me and want to work with me on a one-to-one basis.
Cool. So it sounds really exciting what you've created and what you've achieved in a relatively short space of time.
You can do anything if you set your mind to. Jim Carrey is really interesting. He has Jim Carrey is really quite inspirational in some respects. He had a check which he wrote exactly what he wanted to earn on it, and he uses visualization a lot, and he talks about this, and he's very inspirational, very motivating, and in many respects I believe in the things that he talks about, and many people talk about that. If you become really clear, and it's no different than when you become clear on your avatar, clear on your marketing and things like that, if you become really clear about where you want to be going and why you want to be going there, then that becomes a fundamental driver. And as long as your values fit in with that, you will go in that direction. I absolutely believe it. And I know that because I can be thinking about something, and if it feels right, it will just unfold in front of me. Absolutely. And I, you know, Tom Evans talks about it, where you get into the zone, and it is, for me, it's absolutely true. When everything becomes congruent, everything becomes synchronistic around your life, and it will all just slot into place. It doesn't have to be hard work. As soon as I find that something's hard work, I will step back out of it, and I look at why it's hard. And often it's because it's going against my value systems, or it's not the right time for something. So, for instance, I was going to move last year, and I actually decided not to because it just felt like such hard work at the time. I changed the timing of it, and it's all gone incredibly smoothly.
I think, because that's the thing, really interesting, because like things do happen when they happen for a reason. And it's so sort of kind of like spinning that out a little bit more. If there's somebody listening to this podcast who feels that they're looking into a muddy barrel of water, and they're just looking for a bit of clarity, what would you say, you know, what kind of tips, techniques, tools, books, whatever, would you say would be good to apply that you've used and been successful in your life?
I think you need to give yourself headspace. I think not enough people nowadays have enough headspace. I used to complain about this at work, that actually we never had enough time to think and therefore to become really clear on what we want to actually achieve. So we carry on being very, very busy and really just wondering and thinking, actually, I don't know what to do next. I don't know what to do next. Remove yourself from anything that's going on around you for a good period of time. And I'm talking about, if you can, for a week, so that you become really clear. You can remove the stresses and become clear about actually what you want to do and how you want to do it. Now, often people will say to me, particularly if they're stressed, I don't really know what I want to do. So for me, it's about taking small steps, about removing some of those stresses, removing the overwhelm first and foremost to your life, and then starting to actually support yourself with things that nurture, things that support you, the right diets and things like this, it's because that helps you to give you clarity. You know, your body constantly replenishes itself. You know, 10 million of your cells died off in that second and were rebuilt on what you eat, drink and think. Now, if you want to have clarity in your business, you need to eat foods that will give you that. You need to drink fluids that will allow your body to function properly. Often people are overwhelmed and don't really know what they're doing, because actually they're overwhelming themselves with lots of different kind of chemicals, messages and all sorts of things. So for me, it's about clearing the decks so that you've got a nice clear slate, and so you can think about what actually means a lot to you, what drives you, what gives you passion, what actually makes you feel excited, what do you get up for in the morning. And even if it's to walk the dog at first, you know, at least you've got some idea about what actually energizes you. Because if you're not doing something that energizes you, it's draining you, and that will drain you for the rest of your life until you choose to do something that energizes you. You should be your biggest inspiration in your own life. You should be your own hero. Everything you do should be making you stop and go, wow, I did that. It should make you feel like you've put your Superman pants on every single day, or at least once a week. You should be able to raise a smile in your own face about what you've managed to achieve, no matter how small. And for some of my clients, that can be as small as being able to move elements of their body to get themselves downstairs. So let me put that in perspective. Some of us are talking about business and being able to move into multi-million pound arenas, and others are just trying to get out of bed and have the energy to actually function properly. And so for me, it's about becoming clear.
Well, that's it's quite clear from what you just said that you are very passionate about it, and that kind of, like, you can't fake that kind of stuff, because I think that it's kind of bringing up the themes of not only kind of clearing a space and kind of looking at it objectively, but also what you put into your body, you know, in terms of nutrition, in terms of what we drink, what we eat, and then looking after ourselves, because at the end of the day, it comes up more often than not when you hit a certain point in your life where you kind of get forced to kind of look back and think, is this all there is? This is where you get so many people kind of having midlife crises and saying, right, I'm going to go and do
get a motorbike.
Yeah, get a motorbike and then drive very fast. So it's been absolutely fascinating talking to Deborah. It's really exciting when you speak to people who come at something in a quite different way, but do it with real passion and enthusiasm. If people want to find out more about your work at Passport to Change and Natural Health Radio, how would they find you?
Okay, well, if you put Deborah Walker, a naturopath, into the internet, now predominantly you will find me either on YouTube.
Google me, you'll find me.
Yeah, basically Google me. But website is www.passporttochange.co.uk. And the website for the radio station is naturalhealthradio.co.uk.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much for joining me, and I wish you all the very best, and I look forward to hearing about your fantastic mind space clearing retreat that you'll be launching out there in the wilds of the Irish countryside.
Are you coming to it?
Yeah, I'll be there. I'll be signing up straight away. Thank you.
Thank you so
much. Deborah Walker, been an absolute pleasure. Goodbye, everybody, and we'll see you again for another episode of the Brand New Show podcast very soon. Bye.
Show.